We're back. We're with the other guy. We had a great episode last week, by the way. I thought it was phenomenal. But me and Dylan just pull shit out of the hat, and we just like we pull a rabbit out of the hat every single time that we get together. So Brayden, you might be like kicked off, bro, because we're good without you, bro.
Wow.
What a way to fire up the podcast.
Yeah, that's a way
Wow.
to fire it
Okay.
up.
I'll just go fuck myself.
No, no,
Wait,
no.
hold on. I'm just gonna pull some shit out of my ass today. How about
Yeah, please.
that? Yeah, just bring a heater of a topic out of nowhere and you'll regain him back. No. So last week was a good episode. I guess I'll go first with my updates. We started to dig. So like I said last week, big drop, 200 calorie drop on both my rest day and my regular training day. So 50 grams, so 5 grams of fat, another 30, 35 grams of carbs on my rest day out. Getting down to 40 grams of fat per day, which is lovely. I really miss my dark chocolate, to truly be honest. Like out of everything, I was like, I hated those 110 gram fat like rest days in my off season. But man, I wish I had them again. Like for some reason, just like coconut oil and fucking eggs and like then a little bit of dark chocolate is like my bomb shit. Like 90-10 dark chocolate is the shit. So I've been
Do you just have your fats coming from trace fats now from meats and stuff like that in your rest days, or?
most of it is like I'll do like 200 gram chicken meals, like three of them. But I'm starting to do a little bit of cod now so I can add in a meal with coconut oil. And
Yeah.
then I did a meal now with whey isolate so I can add in a little bit of coconut oil too. So I
Yes.
kind of get a little bit of more healthier fats. Obviously, we've been, my blood work came back when we decided to diet. My blood work came back with low HDL anyway. So we've been taking citrus bergamot the whole time. So I've kind of been keeping that under wraps in terms of making sure I'm staying healthy the cholesterol way. But I would love to just keep in coconut oil in terms of I love it on my eggs and everything, and it fucking tastes good and it's great. So I have it in there, and then I have it on my high day.
So good on chicken and rice, bro. If you've never put
Yeah, it's fucking
coconut
smart.
oil, if you've never put coconut oil with honey, like Manuka honey, on a chicken and rice meal, that shit slaps like so fucking hard. And I first tried it because I was having somebody load on it, and I was having them put coconut oil and honey on their rice meals. They're like, dude, this is incredible. So then I fucking tinkered with it before, and I was like, this absolutely slaps. This
That's
is awesome.
awesome. I've never
Throw a
had the expensive
little
honey.
Ceylon cinnamon on there. Oh, baby.
I never had the expensive honey. So I've never invested into Manuka honey.
Ooh,
So I've
you just
only ever had like giant brand like honey. So it's not
oh,
like great.
come
So I got really sick of
on.
that really
For
quick. Mark put that into my
a
diet.
health guy, you haven't spent the money on honey? Come on here, buddy.
I spend it on
You're
Ceylon cinnamon. All right. All
kicked
right. Get over it. That's already expensive
off.
enough as it is.
Buddy.
But I still have some meals that like I
Couple less gas orders, and you'll get yourself some Manuka honey. Maybe save yourself a little Toshu order, and you'll get yourself.
we don't need to talk about my clothes and shoes addiction right now. Like that's not what this is. But the diet's starting to get down there. We're really starting to dig. Last week, not only did we I asked for it though. So like we went over this, I think, possibly us three. I don't know if it was us three on it or not. But I asked Mark to dig it. I was like, let's push a little harder, because we've been at this for 8 months now, almost since the beginning of January, since the 1st of January. So I'm ready to push this along and get to the finish line here right now. Like I'm not in a rush, but my body dropped like on average another 1.6 pounds. So, and I could bet I'm going to see 150s this week, 100%. So, we'll get there. Legs are starting to show a little bit. We think this is what I was going to talk about right before we started the podcast, but we think it's just a thing of it's so much new muscle, right? I'm only 24 and like
You
it's going to
gotta have
take
mature muscle to get deep lines,
it's the first time that I've really dieted. And while like my quads are hard, like they're like if I flex them, there's not too much like fat to them, I would say, but it's hard to get the separation because we'd have to get really, really, really lean to the point where probably my glutes would have to come in to actually get my quads to separate.
And you would be losing muscle mass in that process.
And I would be losing muscle mass just due to what we've been doing and how long it's been going on. So
just like what we were just talking about, man, it just takes time. Like you just need mature muscle to see separation in a muscle, right? That's why guys don't get deep cuts. It's like the muscles, either you're too fat or you just don't have enough muscle. And just building the muscle and spending time letting that muscle mature is a huge, it makes a huge difference. And like, you'll see it over time too. Like as you attend more shows and stuff, it's really easy to see like that guy has a lot of potential. He just needs that muscle to mature a little bit over the next few years to get those lines deep.
Yeah. So it's kind of come down to that really there. Like my back is in, like I posted a shot post gym last week, which obviously some of the lighting does have an effect to that. But like if I post a shot, my Christmas tree is in my back. So like my upper body is pretty lean. At this point, it's just my lower, like my midsection and my quads are the things that, and my legs are the things that, obviously, I think my abs also, I need to train them more. So it's something that I'm going to train them like 3 times a week during the off season to really bring them up. I do 2 sessions of non-weighted exercises and 1 session of weighted to start to at least build them. So I'm really kind of recognizing a lot of things I want to improve upon for my next growth phase. And I know what I can do. And obviously changing my leg training, revamping how I'm doing hack squats. I'm fucking nailing them now to the point where my quads are just fucked the past 2 sessions and my knees haven't. And it's surprising because I took knee sleeves out of my, I stopped using knee sleeves and I've really focused in on just driving my knee forward as much as possible. And it's benefiting me greatly right now. Mark approved my hack squat. So I was finally fucking thankful about that. But I'm really nailing down my training variables and everything and connecting to my muscles. So I'm like really excited to head into this next growth phase because I know now I have everything set the way I need it to be, like with my routine, with the way I train, with the improvements I know I need to make. And I also have my diet set up. Like I'm using our template to do the diet, which has been a fucking tremendous help rather than using MyFitnessPal. To truly be honest, like it's just way more coordinated. I can change things if I want to change things. I could just boom out different sources if I want to do something. So, you know, it just helps there. So overall going good. I'm looking forward to digging another day. I added back in some fat burners for cardio today.
Raw burn?
No, I'm using Thermogen by Morphogen. I was using raw burn for a little bit, but I decided to add in.
Does Thermogen have you on him?
Yeah, it has 2 point. It has the same thing. So it's very similar. The formulas are very, very similar. As you guys know, though, I am with Morphogen Nutrition. So we're going to stick with the brand. So we're adding that. So I'm adding that back in. But I took out a few other supplements to kind of play different roles. So we'll see how this week goes. I think it's going to go pretty well. I changed my diet today, so we'll definitely see the effects of that. You know, using cod now, thin the skin, bro. We're gonna thin my skin. but everything's great. Can't complain. Business is good. My athletes are all killing it, as you guys have seen on my stories. Like I'm posting nonstop now because my athletes are getting it. Don and I had a great conversation on that today, actually. And it's just like everyone's starting to nail effort and I'm like fucking loving it. So yeah. To be in a nutshell, I get to go on vacation in a month. Hopefully I'll look shredded in a month and I'll look even better so I can look good at the beach. But other than that, that's it for me. Anybody want to go next? Who wants to go?
Go ahead,
you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. just a regular work week for me. Nothing too crazy to update. I got a haircut today, so that was interesting. I actually had a busy.
Look, sexy. You just gotta
thanks, bro.
Yeah,
thanks,
bro. With the red glasses, man, it's just like the look is.
There you go. That's what I was going for. you know, it was a pretty busy week for me. It's good. I know we have a lot of coaches listening to this. This might be something interesting to take away. It's just, you know, Braden had this analogy that he told me once upon a time, which is like learning to ride the wave, and he used it in a physique management perspective, but I kind of expanded that into a lot of things. And I thought, man, that's life in general. I got to get better at not being so hyperactive with the highs of the emotions and so low. I got to be able to streamline my emotions a little more. And this has been something that's been going on for years. But, you know, as I get better at that, know, it was a little bit slow. Like the last couple of months, I went from being like girl, and then the last like maybe 45 days just been a little slower for me, you know, and I wasn't used to that. So I let it affect me kind of negatively. And then all of a sudden out of this week, I had like 10 inquiries. So it's, you know, if you average that out, it's like, it's a couple a week. Why, you know, I shouldn't have spent 5 weeks like stressing about that. You know, it's another good reminder, right? Because it's like, well, for me, that was my normal growth rate anyway. It just, you know, instead of stressing in such the short term, looking a little further. So that felt nice, though. I won't lie. It felt good to get a bunch of inquiries going. It seems like there's a lot of conversation around the Team Miller name in general, not just my inquiries. So that also is very exciting tying to that. You know, some of the stuff we're doing as a team and just kind of seeing the way things are clicking. I'm getting very, very excited going into the kind of the seat improvement season for a lot of athletes. And, you know, and for next year's contest prep season, I think it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, my own training is going really well. I just sent the boys a video from today's training, and I was like, oh man, this is pretty good. You know, I'm not hating this. So me and Braden are doing the damn thing. I'm going to see Braden this weekend in Alberta for, there's a kind of a big powerlifting meet going on there, and one of our self-modeled stores is sponsoring it. And one of my business partners is actually competing because he's a world-class powerlifter. So that's pretty cool. So maybe me and Braden will get to get a session in maybe. And he said he's going to give me some clothes that he outgrew because he grows so fast. We were just asking before we started recording how he just breathes and grows at the same time. Must hurt. So, the benefit for me about staying smaller than him is that I get his old clothes and he buys nice clothes. His used clothes are better than any clothes I ever bought myself, probably.
Yeah, right on. I might have to come out and watch Paul Left. I think that'd be cool.
It's
crazy how strong he is.
Hey, before you update us about Paul, we were at an event a little while, and I went to the gym with him, and Paul and I have actually gotten quite close. And it, just to save it, it took us a minute to get there, let's say, because we're unique individuals anyway. So I asked, and now we're really close, and he was doing like a little bit of like a little fun thing with a team lift, like just doing some deadlifts. And he had a 5x5 program, and he put 565 on he worked up to 565. And I had smoked a little joint. I wasn't training. I was just taking photos, but I was watching him through Josh's camera, and it's so good. And I was watching his face, paying attention, and he lifted this 565 for 5 reps. Honestly, it was like me picking up 135. I went and asked him, I said, okay, how many times do you think you could do that if your program didn't say just stop at 5? And he was like, oh, 30. He's like, honestly, I would get tired before my hands rip off. And then because I had smoked a little joint and we're really close now, it led to some interesting questions. So I said to him, okay, so like, if you're, I know you don't use any of this shit, and I'm pointing to all this Atlantis stuff. We're in the old 5 for 10 and it's completely closed down. It's a private event. Like Atlantis press machines, all those belt pull downs and shit, you know, like the pretty nice stuff. I said, okay, come here. So like, I'm going to put this in the bottom, like the lat pull down, a 300-pound stack. And he's like, yeah, see, when I go to the gym, like these are not heavy enough. I can do anything with these. And I'm like, what? He just grabs it and like, easy, 10 reps, no problem. Easy. He was getting the whole 300-pound stack to move, pulling it with one arm. The only reason I don't think he could do it is because it was twisting him. And I was like, geez, that's
wild. Brain, you should put him on the prime. You should put him on the prime stack. See if he could do the prime stack.
There's no fucking way in hell I would pay him $1,000.
That's so fun. Anyway,
I would tell him you can take that fucking machine out of my garage. You know what? This is yours. This is yours.
We don't. We don't deserve this.
I'm not that strong. It'd be crazy to be that strong. I know Braden's pretty damn strong too. It's like we were just talking about his pressing before the thing. I went and picked up the 150s today just for fun. And I was like, how the fuck would I put these over my head and press these? Like, it's unreal. You know, like sometimes when you can't do something, I think it's good for people to go and like get near it, you know, and just feel it, you know, and holy shit. That's
hey, you know what the impressive part is? Braden actually picks up the dumbbells himself. And puts them on his lap and lifts them up like
I have my own mindset with that, and I'll be honest. I believe if you can't pick a fucking dumbbell up,
I agree. Yeah.
You can't get yourself set up. you can't fucking use that dumbbell for a set because you got to be able to sit back with it. Like, don't get me wrong, I've passed people dumbbells. I've had dumbbells passed to me. For me, it's actually a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pick a dumbbell up and get into position I need to be in. Somebody has to put me in the position I want to be in. They never put me in the right fucking position, and it makes my mentally, it makes me worse. Just like a lot of people like their elbows being helped up in their first rep. Don't fucking touch me when I'm doing a dumbbell press. If I can't get this up from my chest the same way I'm going to do it on rep number two, then I don't have belong having this fucking weight in my hands. And I firmly believe that.
I do. I don't shit on an athlete
if they send me a video and somebody helps them get it up or whatever. Like, that's fine. Do your set. And if it's a good set, that's fine. But like, for me personally, it's just a mental block, or I don't even know if it's a block, but a mental thing that fucks me up mentally. If I can't, like, if somebody grabs my elbows on a set, I'll tell you right now, I'm dropping those dumbbells and I'm redoing the set and saying, don't you fucking touch my elbows.
Oh, you know what?
Dylan spotted me at Gold's in Northgate in Calgary, and he said, do you want me to help you out of the bottom? And I was just like, no, I don't want help out of the bottom. It messes. No,
I set the dumbbells to you only as like a, just because we're training together.
Yeah. Like that's fine with me. That doesn't, if you want to set them on my lap, but like, again, I firmly.
It screws me up too. Like an athlete, if an athlete send me a video and they're consistently training with the same partner and they always do it, I don't care. Cause you're getting stronger like that. Your set's good. You're fine. But for me, as Braden knows, it's like, I already psyched myself out on pressing. Cause I got two different arms doing two different things. If someone's pressing differently, like I've had people cave in my right arm because they're pushing too hard on the elbow and it already sits inside the midline because it's only three quarters straight. And then the dumbbell comes crashing over me. So it's like, no, I need to do this myself. Yeah.
But like, I also, people also say like, if you can't set the dumbbells down and sit up with them afterwards, you can't use that weight. And it's like, well,
that's dumb.
As far as I'm concerned, when I'm going to absolute failure and I cannot fucking move a rep again, there's no way I'm controlling that thing on the way down. I'm dropping those. Keep your feet out of the fucking way.
Yeah, I don't want to control them. I want them off my
rotator. I want them off my arms. It doesn't
slip and fucking rip my arm off.
Yeah, I get to the point that like I'm trying to panic to get these away from me because it's about to fall on my face.
Yes, yes.
If I let this slowly come down, it's breaking my nose and rearranging my teeth. I'm going to avoid that at all costs, so watch your fucking feet.
He already has a new heart. Can't have a new face.
My mug's ugly as it is. I don't need
don't need a new decoration. Braden, tell us a little bit about your Texas trip.
Yeah.
Texas was really awesome, and I texted Kim there my first day there, and I was like, you know what, Kim, this was a really bad idea for me to come here. Her response to me was, we're not moving to Texas. I said, just wait till you come to the Texas Pro next year. You're going to change your mind. So I would love to move there, man. Honestly, I would. That place was, it's really cool, man. It's really clean. It's very clean everywhere, I noticed. Everyone is so nice. And it's very similar to Alberta, I think, in that sense. In that, I don't know, man. When I go to some more liberal states, I say, I found, and don't get me wrong, I'm definitely painting a blanket over it because I mean, Tony's one of the best humans I've met and he's from fucking California. So I can't paint those people. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I definitely feel like there's some, and you're American, Anthony, so I'm not going to torch Americans here, but the stigma, right? Like in Canada, there's a stigma behind Americans being rude per se.
Yeah.
And some of the places I've been, yes, I've seen it, but like Texas, man, some of the nicest people I ever met in my life, ever. Like everyone was just polite and like, I love their accents, so that was pretty dope. But no, it was really cool. But the actual trip itself was great. Tessa and I just, I couldn't have been happier with the package we brought. Now, did she place where we wanted to? Absolutely not, far from. She got 11th. I did some comparisons and like I actually was sending pictures to Cam and Justin when we were down there. And they were kind of just, what are you going to do here? And I told them, oh, yeah, do this, maybe do that. And we had some really good insights there, which was kind of cool to see. But we landed the plane very well. The goal was to bring her in fuller than Vancouver. And in Vancouver, they told us they wanted her upper body fuller a little bit. I brought her in 4 pounds heavier for Texas, and her look was much better. Her glutes were still sharp. Tie-ins were sharp. Honestly, like, and I'm biased as hell, but in my opinion, like, that's a bikini look, what she brought. So I did some comparisons of the first call out and her call out. I did a side by side of second call out and first call out, choosing the second call out there. And like, I could show you guys and you'd be like, what? But I really had to pick over it with a fine tooth comb and try to find where she was lacking. And I said to her, I said, honestly, the only thing I can see here that is off is your legs are smaller than theirs. Like your actual adductors, your quads are smaller from the back.
Agreed.
But when she won her pro card, she was told she needed to bring her legs down. So we brought her legs down exponentially. And now we're told they're too small. So that's competing, right? That's bodybuilding. And we go back to the drawing board. And I mean, I had her doing minimal knee flexion. And what I actually went to Tyler for feedback and I showed him the picture. And it was really cool what he said. He's like, man, I'll tell you right now, this girl has a very promising future. She just needs to be a little bigger everywhere. So I personally, even though I heard Tyler say that, I don't think we need to grow her delts more. I think they'll be too overpowering. Her glutes are definitely big. And when they're full, they're full. So I think it's more so just even out the lower body because her glutes aren't so overwhelming and they match a little bit more to the hamstring and even the quad. I don't know if we need a ton more. I think just more hamstring adductor and she'll be a weapon. And I mean that. And I genuinely believe, and I'm not just blowing smoke here, I think in the next couple of years, you'll see her on Olympia stage as long as we do things right. So yeah, I mean, we placed 11th in Texas and 4th in Vancouver. And she was way better in Texas than she was in Vancouver. So that just goes to show that bodybuilding is bodybuilding, right? It's not necessarily your placing doesn't dictate how good you are all the time. And she was good. So yeah, that was she was in good spirits. Obviously, we're a little bit confused. And she got some texts from some of the girls in first call out that she had never met before. And they were like, not sure how you weren't in that call out with us. So that was pretty cool for her to hear. But yeah, I mean, it's always tough as an athlete to not place where you want, right? But at the same time, she definitely took it well. She's mature enough to know that it just takes time. She's 22 years old. Those girls on that stage with her.
That's so crazy.
On that stage with her are older than her. And the nice thing about it is she's a genetic freak. She can add tissue at any rate. Like I had her training 3 days a week for the last half of her Vancouver prep, man. So it's like, if I put you on some adductors and some hamstring based movements for a little bit here, maybe we go to a wide stance leg press so we get some glute and adductors there. Like they're going to grow. And I know by next season, you're going to have more muscle mass there. So, cause this season was more about limiting her growth, right? Cause I didn't want to overdo it. And now we stood next to these girls and it is what it is. So it's just get better now, but no, it was a great trip. Texas is fucking awesome. I got to meet Justin for the first time, which obviously we've been buddies for a long time, but never actually officially met. So met him out. I had Daniel from Bodybuilders Without Borders approach me. We've been friends on Instagram back from my competing days. And he was like, hey, you're Braden. So we took a picture and I met him. I met Sulios from Instagram as well. I'm sure you guys know them. Same thing. We recognized each other and shot the shit for a little bit. So that was really cool. I got to see Cody, my buddy, bring an unbelievable package. And
he was peeled.
Yeah, I'm biased. I still think he maybe should have won that show and got the Olympia qualification. But Kareth is fucking good too. And Kareth came off a show the week before when Keon just edged him out, right? And there's Keon, it's tough to beat that guy. So I think they're going into that show, there was definitely some Kareth was gonna win. But Cody pushed him and Cody pushed him hard. So I think we're going to see Cody on Olympia stage this year. I'll say it right now. We're going to see Cody on Olympia stage this year. There's that Corey and my buddies out in Vancouver there, Ron and those guys, they just got the 212 show for Van City Showdown. So you're like looking at 7 weeks out now for that show. And there's how many of those top 212s are going to be coming to Canada to do a small little first year of that 212 show? Who knows? But I guarantee you Cody will be there and he'll be good and he'll fucking stamp his ticket to Olympia. So that'll be really cool to see.
Him and Chris are going to compete against each other. That's fun.
Yeah.
You know what was sick? Jordan Janowitz was fucking
pure. 100%, man. I said it. I was very, very impressed with Janowitz, dude. He was, there were some really gnarly physiques in that show, man. I was very happy with Janowitz, especially because like, dude, I followed that guy for years and years when he was at the national level and he just was getting second and then all of a sudden he dropped back to sixth and then like eighth and just bouncing back and forth between all these placings. And he showed up lights out. He was fucking good. Same thing with Martin, dude. Martin was so good after a shit season last year in the open class. Martin Fitzwater showed up really good. Like, could he have been a little bit harder?
His backside was wild.
What's that?
His backside was wild.
Yeah, dude, he was gnarly. And, like, honestly, Andrew jacked. I thought Andrew was going to be not worth the hype, but I thought he was a social media guy. When he walked out, I said to my buddy that was sitting beside me, I said, game over. Nobody's beating that. I don't need to see another person here. Nobody's beating that. And it was true. Like, the difference between second and first in that show was astronomical. And, like, honestly, dude, I was a fan half the time I was there because I fucking love bodybuilding. And being at that show and the caliber of that show, I will, till the day I die, from moving forward, every American NPC athlete I get, I want to put them in that fucking show. The amateur one, every pro athlete, I want to do that show. Freddie Nadeau knows how to promote a show, man. And it would be really cool if we had that level of production in Canada, because that's what the athletes deserve. Like, man, the screen was a massive LED screen behind the entire fucking stage. It was so well done. That was the best show I've ever been to next to Olympia. And that says a lot, man. So I give mad props to those, to, I think it's Roxy and Freddie running that show. It was incredible.
The lighting is good. The light, that's what makes it, man. Lighting, the lighting, the stage.
Everything was sick, bro. Everything. The backstage area was huge. The stage was huge. Just the lights, the everything was so sick, man. It was they know bodybuilding in Texas. I know Justin always says it, but like, they know bodybuilding in Texas, and they got the support there, which was just awesome. So that was cool. I definitely will be back there again next year, and hopefully we add some more pros to the roster and we can just keep going back there every year. So we'll see. But awesome trip. Honestly, I trained at Destination Dallas, which was super cool. And I love that gym. Yeah. It was funny. I was telling Tyler this today because he was over here with the boys. They trained legs. So I texted Cam because I walked in the gym and I thought I seen JT in there, Cam's client, who just won two shows and qualified for the Owen Classic. I thought I seen him, and I'm like, I'm not going to walk up and fucking examine if that's him. Wasn't like starstruck or anything. I'm just like, hey, I think that's JT. So I texted Cam. I'm like, hey, does JT train at Destination Dallas? He's like, yeah, man, he does. I'm like, fuck, he's a big boy. He's here right now. So sure enough, I go about my workout. I go into the posing studio. Well, guess who starts fucking posing beside me when I'm posing, for fuck's sakes? A classic physique Olympian who qualified 2 weeks before for the Olympia and won two fucking shows. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to see myself out here. But we chatted for a few minutes. He's a super good dude. So that was cool. Got to train at Metroflex Arlington. Tessa and I took a trip down there, which was wild. It lives up. It's not a place that, I don't even think it's a place that people train frequently. I think it's more so like a monumental stop in there for workout. Yeah. The guys who were training there, when we were training there, were like 45-year-old out of shape dudes with their shirts off, just leaking sweat on the floor. but it was hot, man. Like, we trained in there, it was 100 Fahrenheit when we were in there the whole time. I said to the dudes at the front that were running it, I was like, this was sick, but I'll tell you right now, I would never train legs here, because I promise you I would die. Like, I'm not joking you when I say that. Like, I'm not exaggerating that I would die. Like, I actually would die. My heart would stop. My defibrillator would go off, and I would be dead on the floor in this place. But it was sick, man. And really, really cool. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with that. And then shitty side of things, I think just traveling and doing four shows in 6 weeks and having minimal sleep caught up with me. I got home on Sunday with some heavy, heavy water retention after the flight from the change in the humidity. I was up about 5 pounds from the day I left, which my diet was the exact same all the way through. That's one of the things I was really proud of, actually, because I've been really pushing myself to stay dialed on the road during all this travel and stuff. And I've been doing my best and I've been really good, but there's been certain things that have just like thrown it off. I know we talked about my food getting screwed up with the travel time in Toronto and just stuff like that. Whereas this time it was like, no, I brought only a carry-on. I had my backpack loaded with 5 days of all my meals in there. Everything was perfect. So I was really happy with that this time around. But yeah, a bunch of water retention from the flight. And then I get home and I wake up on Wednesday morning. I was pretty damn sick. So I've been dealing with that for the past, I guess, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So unfortunately, I had Luca and Tyler's client, Sebastian, and Tyler had all planned to come down, and my client, Ryan, from Peace River, to come down to train this weekend. So we had kind of that planned for 6 weeks or so there. And then unfortunately I had to bail on the boys. So it is what it is, but got to practice what you preach, right? Shouldn't be training when you're sick. And given the fact that it's very hot here right now and my breathing is impacted, it probably would be pretty stupid for me to try to train a hard leg day or something because of my heart. So, but I am frustrated and annoyed. I'm like everybody else too. I want to be in the gym. I want to be training and I hate not training, but
I missed all you can eat. You missed all you can eat sushi.
I did. But that's okay. I'll survive. Mm-hmm. The only thing, like, really honestly, the biggest thing that's frustrating me is it's still a mental block for me going on this Greek trip, and I'm so excited for it, don't get me wrong, but taking 17 days out of the gym and off your diet is a mind fuck for anybody that does this. And like,
never mind a week prior to that.
Yeah, I'm wired to do this, right? Like, I genuinely love this. And I was talking to some of my buddies about this just the other day, actually, and they're like, well, why do you have to do it? Like, why do you got to be strong? And why do you got to? And I'm like, man, honestly, I don't have some fancy explanation for you. I'll tell you what it is. This is what I know. And this is what I love. And I can't not do it. And I mean, they're my homies, right? So it's just like, they care. But at the same time, it's just like, this is what I know. So, but yeah, so that's kind of the only frustrating thing. Was obviously I wanted to maximize my training up for the next 2 weeks until I do leave. But then this kind of happened, taking an extra four days or so off. So it is what it is. I'm fine, but I'm like everybody else. We all get neurotic in our days, and I just want to be back in there. So hopefully tomorrow I wake up, we're good to go and get back at it. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at now. My weight did hang higher for 3 or 4 days, hanging around the 234 mark. And then as I didn't train and I shed the water, it trended back down. Unfortunately, I was 227.8 this morning. So got to get that pump back up. Cam might be like, yeah, high days till you're well over 230. We'll see. So that's where I'm at, man. It's been good. Same thing. I had lots of inquiries this week and new athletes getting rolling, which I'm really excited for. A couple really good athletes too that I'm very excited to work with. So that'll be fun. I passed off a couple athletes to some of the squad. So things are rolling, man. I'm just really happy to see the team where it's at. We have an absolutely phenomenal team. Everybody's doing what they need to be doing right now, and we're marching forwards and taking what's ours. So I'm very, very excited for what the future holds. I'm honestly, things are fucking great.
Yeah, we keep talking about it. Me and Dylan keep having these chats like each week, like it's almost daily at this point. We're just like, man, we're hunting so badly. Like, it's just like even if we're not adding athletes, what our athletes are doing currently, like, we're just hunting with them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we're making significant progress with some of these people. And it's like, so cool to see. And we chat about that. Like, it's so cool to see, like, these people are getting after and they're starting to understand. Like, when you start to get more athletes on your roster, starting to click with everything, it's like, everything starts going. Like, it's just rolling on. Like, it's like a fucking train, like a bullet train going.
And then you get to a point where it's like, either it clicks for you or if it doesn't. And if it doesn't fucking click, you ain't going to be here because the people that are clicking are going to stick around. And like, it catches steam and it's really fucking sick to see. I love it, man. I see it. Even seeing your guys' athletes training videos and stuff, I'm sitting on my end like, yes, fucking right.
That's what I do, man. Every single time I would look at a training video, I'm either like, ugh, or I'm like, fucking right. Yeah. I'm like, I'm starting to learn Braden's lingo here. And I'm just like, yeah, fucking right.
But like, and that's a crazy thing. Like, we were talking about training videos too, right? Like, I still have some athletes where I have to convince them to take their videos and send it to me. And I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm so obsessed with training that like, I videotape every set just to watch. Like, I don't take my videos to post on Instagram. Now, granted, they give me content to post, but like, I want to see where I fucked up. I want to see where I can be better. I love watching my training videos. And like, yeah, maybe I'm psychotic, but like at the same time, I don't think I am, because that's what makes us better, right? If you can find a way to be better and watch your own training videos. Don't just take them because your coach asked you. If you actually, and it's something I've really noticed, the athletes that are taking extra videos and like, yeah, I might tell somebody, hey, pump the brakes. I don't want you selling me 10 videos today because I can't spend 2 hours going through your training videos. But at the same time, like, those people are the ones who progress the fastest because they're invested in becoming better as much as you're invested in wanting to make them better, right? When people just don't take their videos and don't care about watching their sets, to me, that just tells me you don't actually care to be better because you're leaving something on the table where you could get better. And it goes back to kind of like we were talking, me and Dylan talked about this on one of Alexa's posts that she posted. And it's like looking at their eyes. And like, that's the first place I look when I watch a set is watching somebody's eyes. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're doing a leg extension set and you're in the middle of your set and somebody walks by you over here and your eyes, your head might not move, but your eyes go over here. It's like, well, your head is no longer here. Your head is no longer on the fucking muscle. You're not thinking about what you're doing. You're going through the motions and you wanted to watch that girl bend over in front of the dumbbells to like whatever you were doing. It's like, figure it out. Like, focus on what your goal is, right? And like, that's also, I think, a learned skill. It takes time to be able to lock yourself into a place like, fuck, I don't know. I'm sure you guys are the same, but like when I'm in the middle of a set, you could say anything to me and I wouldn't hear it. Like I actually would have no fucking clue what you said.
Oh, thank God someone brought this up.
This happens all the time.
Like I would have no clue what you said. You could call me a pussy. You could say the most derogatory thing about my mother or anything. And if you told me after the set, I might beat you up. During my set, if you're trying to insult me, do it during a set because I promise you I won't hear it.
Me and Brant were actually talking about this because we don't get to train as often just because I'm on a different training split now. But when we get to link up for legs or pull day or something, like we'll do it because those are bigger muscle groups that we want to hit together. And I was talking about, and I filmed that hack squat set that I posted yesterday. And I was like, dude, when you're in those, like my eyes are closed for the majority of it. Like they may seem open. But dude, I'm not fucking seeing any, like I'm so locked in here into what's going on. And I'm like, you just get a whole bunch of white noise. This is why I tell my athletes to chase after. I'm like, if you're not into a set, especially on legs, where you don't hear white noise and your music goes like, just, you don't even hear your music. Like you could have noise canceling headphones on. You don't even hear your music. Like, it's like, until you get to that spot, you're not really locked in on what you're actually doing. I'm like, when you lose yourself into the set is really where the progress comes because you're not even thinking with the emotions or like anything that stops people from actually changing, right? Like the one thing that stops people is the mental aspect.
Yeah.
But if you're in the set and you're deep in there, and you guys have probably been there. Sorry if there's a, I don't know if you guys can hear this child screaming. Hopefully you guys can't. great, great, great sound effect. But man, you don't even feel the muscle. Like you don't even feel failure. Like it's, what is failure? Like it's just go. Like there's no stopping at any point.
You just feel where it's you can't move anymore. Like yeah. this is going to break me.
Well, exactly.
There's a good way to, you know, I really like this analogy, and we're a hunting and tracking creature, so it makes sense. So like everyone can do this at home because most people live inside of a wooden or metal structure that keeps them protected from the elements and the predators. And if you have a screen, go look at your window screen and your fovea will adjust. You can either see what's behind the screen or you can see the individual squares of the screen. And if I asked you to focus on the individual squares of the screen and then put a clown in the background, you won't be able to see it. And that's how you should be. You're tracking, you're hunting, pay attention, you know, like get yourself set up. Okay, here's the muscle and stay on it. You know, it drives me nuts when people are like looking around or moving or any nonsense. Like, it's like, this is the skill of training and people want to skip learning that.
Yeah.
And this is where right now the biomechanics community, in my opinion, is taking the wagon and running off the cliff.
Yeah, way too far.
Because people are doing things at such a low level of skill internally, but because their elbow might be moving through space in the right place with such a suboptimal load, it's like, oh, this is optimal form. You can tell when someone's on the muscle.
Yeah.
You know, like I did a consult with one of my mentors last week, and and I don't work with him anymore, but I just did a one-off consult for something. And we were just talking, bullshitting about training after. And he said, you know, some of that stuff, because he said he had gotten into it with the guys from Muscle Mentors UK. And his point was like, okay, but I'm working with like enhanced bodybuilders, or my models are going to coaches who are working with enhanced bodybuilders, because we're, you, that's literally what I do is enhancement stuff. So if someone comes to me and they're like, you know, he's using this exact analogy. So if someone comes to me and they're like 210 pounds, 230 pounds, 250 pounds, they've been training for 5 years. If I ask them, hey, what do you feel your tricep on the most? They'll have a couple examples. They'll know where their elbow goes. They couldn't, maybe won't explain a functional anatomy to you at all, but they'll know how to find the muscle. That's why they have it. You know, like most of the time, it, some people can grow really easy and get away with it. But most of the time, you know, like you, your client Luca, for instance, I talked to him about training and like, he can't use, let's say, all the terminology. Mm-hmm. When he's talking, it's like he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. So he knows where the lat is, you know, and it's, well, that's probably why his lat literally looks like a house from the,
yeah,
from the back, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, we have to focus on like the intensity of the set, the entirety of the set. It's not funny, how it's heavy.
The muscle mentors thing, because obviously like that seminar I was at last week was Callum, team pro coach, who was, Callum was muscle.
He was muscle mentors. Yeah.
So what that, when we were chatting, that conversation kind of led into where they started team pro coach and whatever it was. And he actually mentioned that it had gotten way too biomechanics focused and just around biomechanics. Whereas like, that's not his passion. He loves creating fucking freaks and people training hard. And like, you know what I mean? And that's literally that conversation. That's basically where I think team pro coach was born and muscle mentors separated, was there was guys who really wanted to focus on just biomechanics and educating the world on biomechanics. And then these guys who are skilled at building crazy physiques are like, there's more to it than this though, because you also got to train fucking hard. You also got to diet proper. You also got to take some fucking drugs. You got to do things the right way to really make a physique crazy, not just move optimally, because there's a lot of people with crazy mobility and crazy ability to move through space in the right ways that have suboptimal physiques because they just don't actually train hard. They don't actually load muscles. And well, that's not going to make you a big dude or a muscular woman or whatever. Right.
Yeah. I think that that's a good point, because, you know, we can even bring me into example, right? Like I was thinking so hard on last pull day. Like I sent you guys my video of my row, right?
Yeah.
Obviously there's some issues with that, but I was thinking so deep into it that just I was just like, I was just like, I just need to fucking move. Like there's some days I go into the gym and obviously you want to make sure, hey, you're on the muscle and everything, but there's some days where you do have to move some fucking load. Like there's going to have to be a day where you have to decide whether you're going to remain small or get big. Right? Like there's always those things. If you put yourself in a position, and this is why I tell my athletes, I'm like, hey, control your end ranges, because that will put it for you. Yeah. Like if you can control where you stop and where you finish, like if you can control both of those, you don't really have to worry. You're going to be on the muscle. Like it's just like, then lift hard. Like you don't need to be doing these. Like everyone wants to do these 5 second eccentrics. Now, it's really funny because I just posted a hack squat set where I was doing like four second eccentrics, right? But it's because my legs suck. So there, I'm trying to make the connection to be on the muscle. So that takes time to obviously do, which is why we set certain tempos, right? So we know that they're on the muscle, but a lot of people don't understand that sometimes you have to use brute force to actually create a massive change. Like a good bit of my physique was really created using a ton of brute force, like rowing 270 pounds, not clean, but you know, it added a good bit. I can tell you on my rear lat spread, my erectors are pretty dang big. And so is my upper back, right? Obviously my lats need more work, but we've already come to that conclusion, but it helped me grow what I need to grow and help me grow a base. So I think a lot of people just train.
A lot of things that I tell my athletes is, in a set where you're actually training hard, that's going to impact the amount of muscle you grow. You should be teetering the line of having good form and shit form the entire time. Mm-hmm. Because if you pick up a load and your first rep, that load is super, super easy, that load's not heavy enough for you. That first rep should still feel fucking hard. And if it's not, it's not heavy enough. Now, if you're doing a 20 rep set, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, but well, let's just maybe load that for a 12 rep set. But anyways, like, yes, sure. Hypertrophy goes up to 30 reps and whatnot. And you can do some really fucked up things. But if you can't get strong and have a 10 to 12 rep set first, you have no purpose being on a fucking pendulum and doing a 30 rep set. Get strong with 10 to 12 first. And then turn that 10 to 12 into a 30 rep set eventually once it's fucking heavy and hard. But yeah, I think I would agree. I think people just, and even me, I've been in this place with my own training where I'm like, fuck, that was shit form. And you obsess with it too much. But also I've never gotten to the point where I'm just trying to stretch and squeeze a pink fucking dumbbell, because I mean,
Would say that I have, and that's one thing I've worked hard to undo.
I have in the past, but I'm thinking like more recently where I get, because you and I have had this conversation, Dylan, where like I need somebody programming my training, because if my training's not programmed, I get in my head too much. And I'm like, should I be doing this movement or should I be moving elbow through this path? And it's like, when I have Cam just telling me what the fuck to do, and like, I still send Cam my training videos and he makes small tweaks. And I'm like, yeah, you tell me to fucking do that, I'm just going to do that, because that's what you're telling me to fucking do. And if that's what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. So I don't need to think. When I don't do that and I'm programming for myself and I start thinking, my head's a bag of fucking cats. And it's like, there's no turning that shit off at any time. So I need somebody to turn it off for me and just tell me to fucking do this.
I find it's really easy to it's simple to micro progress, not easy. Like when I send you my training videos, what I like is, you and I have found this rhythm where, like, because I think you're really good at like learning people, maybe in a different way than I do, but you're always paying attention. So I have like a sequence where I have to bump load, and then my eccentrics suffer a bit, but it's just mentally I need to just do what Anthony said, where I'm just pistoning that fucking weight that's moving for this amount of reps with good control, but maybe a little quicker, and my direction changes might not be perfect.
So the end rate, that's what I notice when it's the end rate. Then all of a sudden it's, hey, clean that up next week. And then you take the same loads, you clean it up. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe in 3 weeks time, we're going to bump that load again. You're going to chase it. And I know your end range control is going to suffer, but then I know we'll fix that again. And
I just had a comment. So I have my guy who's going to be starting in prep pretty soon. And he sent me a video today actually doing his chest press. And so the one thing he's back up to the 105, and I was like, okay, let's see how these go. But he was pistoning it, right? So all I said was, next week, all I want you to do is I just want you to pause slightly at the top and pause slightly at the bottom. I was like, let's clean this up. Let's see how many reps you get. I bet you get maybe minus one rep, but a better quality. Then you're going to get the same reps as you did this week, and then you're going to get one more the week after, and then look, then we can bump load. And then we could do the same process over and over again. Like, a lot of people think that progress needs to be, your form needs to be perfect all the time, where it doesn't, because you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
By doing that, like, to truly be honest, you're not going to get anywhere by doing that. And you know what? If someone's muscle is fucking growing and you see it on their measurements and you see it doing things, why change something? Like, allow them to continue like those load progressions. And watch them over time. Like, if their elbows are staying tucked for the majority of the reps, and then maybe near like the last like one or two, their elbows start to kind of shift outward a bit more, right? But if they're putting on size onto their chest, like, let them fucking go for like another month and then bring it back. Like, that's what I always did myself, was I always push things and then I bring it back. Start at a higher set point than I did when I started that really clean form. Then last time, and I push up again past my last limiter, and then I come back down again.
I think one of the things, that's a good point, Anthony, and I don't know what Braden thinks about this, but he's the most advanced here, by far the strongest, so we can use him as an example. I would say in the beginning stages of someone's journey, which is sort of probably counterintuitive, like in the process of me teaching them proper mechanics, I am letting them just figure out how to train hard with, you know, sometimes suboptimal form for some of their ending and of sets. And that's because the human body is still the human body. Like, it's, to be honest, it's pretty hard to get hurt pressing 20 or 25 pound dumbbells.
Yes.
You have to completely twist your arms completely back. Like, you know, like it's just hard to get hurt when you're using 25s or 45s.
I know you're going with this, and I already agree.
You know, and then the advice comes from the top, right? So by the time someone gets to where Braden is in his physique development or higher, sometimes I think it gets confusing because the advice trickles down and the advice is like, hey, you should stay on the muscle. You should, you know, be very meticulous with your training. And I believe in all that. I really do. And there's some good data to show that that makes sense. But the point is, yeah, but they're doing 405. Like, I don't think people realize how strong some bodybuilders are because it's like, oh, well, I'm doing 225 as like a gym bro. So I'm about half as strong as that bodybuilder doing 405. It's like, no, you're a quarter because he's controlling every inch of that 405, sitting on his ass on his heels, using his knees, propelling forward to scoot his ass up out of the hole. It's all quads and you're doing 225 with your adductors, your glutes, your back. Yeah. And even if it's like quote unquote good form. So that's why is because as you get stronger and stronger, you have to be more accurate. You know, it's like you get less opportunity to stimulate the muscle because your body's adapted so far. Yeah. And you're not playing around like you're pressing. If your elbows start to drift in at with 150s on a slight incline,
I was just going to say
your rotator cuff can just blow off. Like
That's literally what I was just going to say. As soon as you get, and that's where I was going to, I knew where you were going with this. Cause like, for instance, we were just talking about this before my pressing video where I pressed those 130s in Metroflex. And like, for me, my form on that movement is not going to change week to week. My movement will progress, but I'm not letting myself get sloppy with it because the risk of me tearing a pec or fucking up my shoulder joint becomes a lot greater. And I know my limitations and I know I feel things off when I, and if I get a slight tweak, I'm fucking dropping that dumbbell because it's at the point. And like, there's guys that are way stronger than me. I'm not crazy strong. I mean, I'm relatively strong for sure, but there's dudes pressing 150, 160 pound dumbbells. And like you said, it takes a few degrees of changing things into a wrong direction at that point to really cause some big fucking problems and tear a pec right off the fucking bone. Right now, go back to somebody pressing 40 pound dumbbells. For sure, there's some resiliency and some leniency. And I'm the same way. I'm going to allow that. But now fast forward three years where this person is pressing 120s, 115s, 130s. Well, you've been doing this long enough now that should be just fucking ingrained in you that's your pressing pattern. And you do it for long enough and that's your fucking pattern. And I would agree also that like, if you're on a machine where you're locked in place on a hack squat where you really can't fuck it up, then yeah, go until, but like, there's also some that it's like, you know what, if you're an advanced trainee, and you're at a point where you are pressing heavy loads, at that point, maybe let's focus a little bit more on staying on that muscle and optimizing your patterns. But until you're at that fucking point, just train hard. And I think that's the biggest thing that people miss. Train fucking harder. You need to train harder. And I would argue 95% of you people listening to this probably have another fucking gear to give in your training. And when you think you're training hard, you're not fucking training hard. And when I train hard right now, I still have another fucking gear to train harder. So
fired up. Someone asked me that yesterday. They responded to my hack squat video. And they're like, dude, you're only using two plates plus a 10 per side. I'm like, yeah, but did you see me take it to the death? I was like, just because I'm using less weight doesn't mean that I'm not taking it. I think a lot of people try to search for this perfect form and in turn they sacrifice that.
Yes.
Mentality of that failure thing. Cause like, oh, I stopped feeling in my muscle. I need to stop. No, keep the pattern going and fucking go. Like, hey, there's always leniency. I say, if you include some other muscle groups, it's fine. You're the body knows how, like Dylan said, the body knows how to work itself out. When you start to get to those 100 pound plus dumbbells though, for some people, on presses too, like those things, like you said, though, that's where things need to get a little, like you need to be a bit more on it, because I've been there even with 90 pound dumbbells and I had no reason to even be there. Like to truly be honest, like thinking back to how shit my pressing was with those, I was like, I had no reason to do that. Whereas now if I would get there, I would have a reason, but I would really need to be really meticulous about how I approach it when it comes down to that. So I think that's where a lot of people get confused though. It's like there is going to be a danger, and as you continually progress more in weight, there's always going to be that. Why do you think people get anxiety on legs? Because all these people want to quarter rep the whole 45s in the gym on a leg press. Yeah, like,
you know what fucking really, and this is, I think this is a very valuable piece to add to this conversation when we're talking about the biomechanics and stuff. It's something that really fucking pisses me off. So yes, Dylan, you were right. I get fired up by these topics, but it's something also that I think can make the world of a fucking difference in terms of staying on a muscle during a set and not having to think about staying on a muscle and just fucking going, moving load. Your setup. Mm-hmm. Fuck your cues. Fuck your biomechanics and how you're moving. Set up properly. If you're stopping a set after every rep to adjust your fucking feet on a leg press to find the optimal position, you haven't been paying attention during your training. If you don't know where to put your feet on a pendulum squat and you're doing a pendulum squat week after week and you haven't found which line you need to put line your toes up with or your heels up with to optimize your fucking squatting, figure it out and start paying attention within your training. Make a note in your logbook. This is what a logbook is literally for, because honestly, it's something that drives me nuts when I'm watching training videos for athletes. Is like, if it takes you 5 reps to find your optimal foot position, you've just exhausted yourself doing 4 fucking super shitty reps. Now on your 5th rep, you've got that perfect range of motion and what feels great for you. And now you go to work, but you fucking fatigued yourself doing shit work first. So let's figure out our training. Let's pay attention to our training. Let's know where our feet go. Let's use our warm-up sets and our feeder sets for this so that when it's time to tap the fuck in, you tap in and there's no thinking left. Your setup is there. You're in a position you need to be in, and you go till the wheels fall off. And I think that's where people miss a lot of this, is they're warming up to get some blood in the muscle. They're warming up to do this thing or that thing. It's like your warm-up is to figure out where the fuck you need to be to make sure your joints are warm and things are moving in the right planes. But use that for your warm-up sets. Don't use that on your fucking working set. If you go into a working set and you're not in position, you're not going to be on the muscle.
See, I actually think, Braden, because I was laughing before and I said you get so fired up about this, because I thought back to like maybe when I was hired for like 2 weeks and then we got in a massive fight with Jared from RP Strength. I'm going to like it here.
I remember this so well.
And I think this is that missing piece to that conversation is their opinion is that people train too hard with not enough volume. Like their opinion of the general fitness seeking person is that most people are training too quote unquote hard. What they're doing though, I think, is a lot of the times over or underloading.
Yep.
And then doing what you said, where it's like, hey, but you had 10 or 12 darts and you threw 5 or 6 of them in the garbage before the game started because you had to move your feet for every second rep and all this stuff. You didn't get accurate with your precision. Like, I agree. It's like, what are you warming up for? I get pissed off too. And my athletes send me this. And I'm like, how many warm-up sets did you do? And I know that they don't know why I'm asking that question. They're like, oh, 2 or 3. And I'm like, well, then how come this is garbage? Like, what?
I say the same thing.
You know, like, why did you have to like squiggle around and move? Like, because when I post my own training videos in my training chat, a bunch of people comment and they're like, you're just like a robot. And it's like, yeah, yes. Like, that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. There's not, when I'm doing chest, my sternum isn't like, why do people look like they're doing exercises in a waterbed sometimes? Like, that's what it looks like they're doing to me.
I don't know, but it fucking drives me nuts.
You should be a piston. We say be a piston. Be a fucking piston. Like do what it's supposed to do. Back and forth, back and up and down, up and down. Just go up and down, bro. Like, it's like, it's not too fucking hard to do. Like, it's not too hard to do if you take your warm-ups right. People ask,
The important point of that is like when you learn a new movement pattern, it takes 6, 8, X amount of weeks to learn that pattern, right? Dylan and I have had conversations about this before. It takes a lot of time to learn that pattern. So that early on, that strength you're progressing is not because you've gotten stronger or bigger. Like, yes, you probably have small incrementally, but your brain has grooved that pattern better and better. So you're moving more optimally and your body is now moving through the pattern better. So you're going to get stronger. Now, that's where the problem is when people just abandon training programs after 8, 10, 12 weeks, thinking that, oh, I've maximized this out. No, because you're right at the fucking point where now your every progression you get is going to be tissue. So now this is where you need to stick with this for another 12 weeks and really run with this and make that happen. But again, it comes back to me, in my opinion, fucking setup. Like, just pay attention to where you should be when you're doing your warm-ups, and then you're going to know. Like, myself personally, I could tell you, you put me on a Atlantis pendulum squat that I've been using at our Iron Lore, I'll show you. You can walk up to me right now at this second. I'm not in the gym. I don't need a warm-up set. I'll show you where my feet need to be for my set to be optimized. Take me to the Atlantis leg press. I'll show you where my feet need to be for my set to be optimized. Yeah. And I don't need my logbook to show me that, because I pay attention to what I'm doing in the gym and I care about it. And if people just did small things like that, the results would show, as long as you're fucking training hard. Right? Like,
yeah, warm up properly. It becomes
It becomes super complex when it doesn't need to be complex. Get set up. You have a coach watching your videos to tell you what that setup should look like. So when I say drive your shoulder down on a row, that's your setup. Your shoulder should not start up here on a row. Your setup is here and your setup stays there. You know what I mean? On a squat pattern, your feet are wherever, and that's where you stay. Now you just need to move that fucking load in that pattern.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Muscle work.
But
great rant to go over how many times we get to say to warm up properly. If it takes four sets to warm up,
Please don't listen to me swear over and over in front of your kids. I apologize if I did.
I don't apologize for that whatsoever. It's my podcast. I'm good. No apologies here. All right. B's got to go. I got to go because I got to eat. Dill's probably gotta go because Dill's probably gotta eat too. We're all bodybuilders at one point. We're all going to eat, which is great excuse. If you guys enjoyed this episode, as you guys know, subscribe to the YouTube. Go subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple. Go leave us a 5-star rating or review. Go like the video on YouTube. If you guys are interested, as you guys know, the podcast is sponsored by Morphogy Nutrition. Use code SPADA for 10% off. You guys can also go to Supplement World. Get a discount code there, or you get a discount there if you're a team or elite athlete. So if you guys didn't know
that, elite is the discount code.
Yep. Yes, there it is. So go follow that. I think we all have spaces open for coaching. Braden might not. I think I say that every single week. So if you guys are interested in coaching,
right people, I do. Show
definitely,
me.
definitely go over to the website, which is down in the show notes, and go apply for one for either of us, any of us here. And we'll definitely get back to you. So other than that, thank you guys for listening. We know half it was a ramble, half it was another ramble, but it works. So thank you guys for joining on this episode of the Ace Spada podcast.
See you guys later.